Coming up on TMS, Fletcher said it best.
How edgy are your dumb 80s clothes?
United has another victim.
Aw, karma has its day.
How much are those muddy jeans?
Your Doritos are singing to me.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
And honestly, I would just love to see a little alternate reality where the discovery of weed was before the discovery of alcohol.
Yeah.
Really hope so. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. Behave yourselves.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is Wednesday, April 26th, 4:29 p.m. in the afternoon. Why is this happening?
Earlier than we told. We said 4:30. And
yeah, look, we were a minute early. Oh, 4:30. It just turned over. It's 4:30.
Okay, there
now.
We go. All right.
It's sorry for the delay. Brian and I were planning on a show this morning, and then I was not notified about a scheduled, that usually means you're notified, but I wasn't, a scheduled ISP outage where they were doing some maintenance in the morning. It makes sense. It's a bunch of residential services at 7 or 7:30 or whatever in the mornings when they started. So I get why they picked the time they did. But damn it, I had a show to do, and I kind of got hosed out of it, so we didn't have a show this morning. So we're doing one now. It's fine. We're back. It's 4:30. It's p.m., but we don't care. We're pretending like it's morning. Brian, how are you? How was your day?
I'm good. It was a very productive day. Instead of TMS, I just went ahead and did Coverville at the normal TMS time. Mm-hmm. I got to say, there is something I kind of enjoy about doing Coverville in the morning. So I might... I'm really, really considering the idea of doing Coverville either pre-TMS, you know, some day of the week, or even doing that Friday morning at the same time that we normally do TMS. Although you do the instance. I don't like conflict.
Well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to step on your toes either. I love the...
All right, then move the instance.
All right, we're going to move that around and let you know how that goes.
I'm kidding, yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying, though. There's something about mornings for certain things, and you do it, and you're like, yeah. Ooh, that felt all right. I'd like to do that every day.
Exactly. No, I think Friday instance, and I think even Friday, we were talking about doing soundography in the mornings on Friday too, me and Hammond. So maybe we do that Fridays. Here, let me go ahead and just adjust my schedule during actual showtime.
We do this live on the air? Okay, great.
Yeah, Brian's, live on the air.
What's your scheduling app of choice? What do you like to do there? You
well,
just like calendar?
I kind of am partial to a laminated blue and orange sheet demarking, you know, denoting the days of the week and which days are TMS and Coverville.
Wow.
And TMS PM.
Listen, Grandpa, I really like I really like your method.
Would you like to know why I did this? And here's the funny thing. I did this about 24 hours before you talked to me and said, hey, I need to reschedule. Can we start doing TMS at 10 a.m.? So you'll notice that if you look up close, yeah, it's 9 a.m. TMS start time. So I laminated this thing for nothing. Nope. There was a reason I did this, actually.
Okay.
It's because I was working with a couple freelance clients and needed a physical way. I didn't want a digital way. There are so many great digital ways, and it's fine. I'm fine with that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's all fine.
But I wanted a physical way where I could take a dry erase marker and go, zoop, 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 move stuff around and put schedule clients in certain places during the week where I was not doing a podcast.
Yeah, so all you're really showing is that TMS is a permanent fixture of your life. So you're not afraid to print a thing like that, although it is funny that it's an hour later than you had when you printed it.
It is. This is like, you know, whatever time it took me to get out the laminator and line the thing up in the plastic.
Wait, you have your own laminator?
Well, yeah. Doesn't everybody have their own laminator?
Of course, Brian Ibbett has his own laminator.
It was an Amazon gold box deal, $19.95 for a laminator. Damn right I'm going to buy my own laminator, because when I'm making my counterfeit passport photos so that I can game the system at the Venetian.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Brian,
sneak into the MGM pool when I'm staying at the Link.
I'm going to start calling you Kinko. because you got all the tools needed to make your business better. Yeah.
Do you have a paper cutter?
Yeah, I actually do have one of those.
Yeah, you better have a paper cutter.
More that Kim has it, but yes, we have a paper cutter here. It's not very good, though. I kind of have to be real careful with it, or it'll create a curve that I don't want. So I have to really pay attention to the straightness of the line. We probably could use a new paper cutter.
All right, let's really quickly. What is the most obsolete office item that you have still in your house?
Oh my god!
Like something that would be at home in an office. Do you have something that can fax?
Used to.
Like a printer probably can fax.
Used to, but I threw it away. I don't have it anymore because I have a new printer that's just a printer.
Okay.
I'm looking over there. I mean, there's Carter's old typewriter, but that doesn't count. She was being a hipster she got that.
Yeah, that's a hipster thing now. Do you have a three-hole punch?
Oh, yep, I do. I do. I have a little black one. That's it. I also have one of the single-hand ones, the ones that are just the single-hole punch. Have you seen those?
Yes, right.
Looks like a combination.
You just make holes, right.
Yeah. Yep. Looks like a nail clipper had sex with a wrist workout squeezer and then created a hole punch out of it. So I do have those. I think that's the oldest school office supply thing I have here.
Yeah. That I know. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Like,
I have so much shit. That's what I do know.
Yeah.
I'm scanning around going, oh, I should get rid of that. Oh, I should get rid of that.
Oh, wow. TVZ Gun has an actual Rolodex flip deck, which is basically full of empty cards.
What? Why?
Why would you keep that?
Yeah. What are you doing, dude? That's not a thing you should hang on to. Get rid of that thing.
Do you have a 3M post-it note dispenser?
I'm going to say yes. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah. I mean, we got post-it note stacks over there.
You know, a dispenser is so much more convenient than just having a pad of post-it notes and you just pull one off when you want one.
Yeah, you slip it out like one of those card dealer things.
Like a tissue dispenser, right? Where it like puts up the little tab of the next post-it so it's quick. You can quickly grab it.
Yeah, they're like magic. It's like those blackjack self-dealing card dispensers you can buy.
Right, the shoe?
Yeah, where you just go shlook and out comes a card. I like that a lot. So Scott Fletcher, who we don't talk about a lot, but we praise him whenever we can think of it, because he's great and he does all the great little voiceovers for the top of the show, like this one. Whoops. Like the one we played this morning.
This is the Morning Stream. Behave yourselves,
he says. He's great and he's always willing to do fun stuff for this show and Film Sack and tons of stuff. He's really been the velvety announcer voice for Frog Pants almost a decade running now. And we love him. He's coming under attack here. Can't wait to see him. He said something on Twitter that really caught me and reminded me of why he's also a very wise person. Mm-hmm. So I said this. I said on Twitter, the things people are typing in Twitch chat on this Cosmos marathon stream are really, really disheartening. That was my tweet. Because I was watching the Cosmos Carl Sagan on all day marathon that's currently running on Twitch.
I did not realize there was such a thing. That's great.
It's great. He was way before his time.
Yeah.
His stuff is cheese ball, horrible effects, bad hair, 70s all
of course,
over the place.
Yeah, it's turtlenecks and brown jackets with patches on the elbows.
Yeah. But I look at things like that and go, well, of course, time changes. Things look different. I'm mature enough to recognize that, but still see the value in the content he was providing. And I always loved Cosmos as a kid. I really like it now, and it was really fun to watch it. But I noticed the chat room, which was full of lots of conversation. I was hoping it would be insightful, or people would say, oh, yeah, that's a good point. We've since learned this since he said that, this and this and this. No, that's not what we're talking about in Twitch. It became the most racist, homophobic, pro-religion, anti-religion, angry atheist, angry religious person, angry evolutionist, angry anti-evolutionist tirade of chat garbage I've ever read in my life. It was just mean-spirited, ugly, and angry. I hated
it. So the internet.
It's a good point.
The internet started acting like the internet.
Yeah, and I'm being all naive about it, like it's going to be better than it is.
I know. There's always hope.
There
right?
is always hope. Internet. Exactly. I want to go in there and be surprised, but I wasn't. It was bad. So I posted that on Twitter, and here's Scott Fletcher's reply, and I think there's some wisdom in this. He says, I can't do it in his voice, but he says, I'm ready to boycott all comments that are not handwritten or spoken across the dinner table. Everything else seems like bullshit. And he's right!
Right. YouTube comments, Twitter replies, Facebook comments.
All of it. Look, I don't want to besmirch our community, but there's like a threshold. If you get to about 1,000 or more viewers on a live stream, that's when things go south.
Everything outside of the tadpole. Agree, yes.
Yeah, we have a great community that occasionally does a weird thing. But most of the time, you guys are awesome. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, one of you calls somebody on Facebook you shouldn't. But other than that.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So normally, you guys are great, and we love you, and you're a bastion of what a great community can be on the internet right. in the modern day. However, a lot of it's real ugly and weird. And I'm going to take Scott. I'm actually going to apply Scott Fletcher's advice to my life.
Oh.
And good. If you feel like Scott Fletcher is onto something, I would like people to publicly reply to him at Mr. Scott Fletcher on Twitter. That's Mr. Scott Fletcher is his Twitter handle. Two T's in Scott, like me. Fletcher, just the way it sounds. At Mr. Scott Fletcher. And tell him why you agree or why you disagree with his stance. But I think I might stop ever caring about these things again.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do it at some point. At some point, I need to turn the switch off and go, Scott no longer believes that mass conversation on the internet is actually worth a whole lot more than just noise. Or I need to have my optimistic hope that one day we'll all come together kumbaya style and rub each other's backs with oil. All right? So I got to make a decision. Scott Fletcher may have pushed me over the edge. Well done. Well done, Scott Fletcher.
I just made a handwritten note. We have a text thing going back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't know how well you can see that, but and I did a handwritten note that just says, I think you're awesome.
Oh.
Using the little handwriting thing in Apple Messages right now.
Oh, over to Fletcher. That's a handwritten note. Well done.
It's a handwritten note. It's a comment. He has to take it as fact.
Yeah, and if you can't hand him something over the dinner table, this is the way to do it.
This is the way to do it.
All right. Well done. We've done our work here.
I'll hand him something over the dinner table, I'm sure, when we see him in at Snowbird.
And while you know what, while you're at it, send him some public replies just about how much you appreciate the fine work he does here, and let him know he's rad, because he is.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about another thing that is about our day and not this day that we're in. Our day being the 80s, Brian. It was our decade, okay?
Sure, yeah.
We were growing up. We went from kids to teenagers.
That's right.
That was a
Journey was the soundtrack of our lives.
That's right. It was awesome.
Mike Reno and who was it? Was it Ann Wilson?
Yep.
That did the Almost Paradise lover boy.
Almost Paradise.
I think that was our
it was our dance song.
Song or something.
Sure. We danced to that. we danced to Lady in Red there.
Did you really? Yeah. Krista Berg?
Oh, yeah, sure. Is that the dude? That's a dude, right? The redhead guy?
Yeah.
That was him.
I don't know if he's redhead or not.
Oh, well, there was a redheaded, carrot topped looking singer who sang Lady in Red, but I don't remember the name of the band.
Oh, Simply Red is who you're thinking
Simply
about.
Red's who I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking of Mick Hucknall.
Oh.
Who looks like a short British carrot top.
Yeah, the carrot top without the stuff in his trunk.
The props.
Yeah, the props.
Yes, exactly.
That's the word I meant. Yeah. So, it was a great time. Great time to grow up. Great time to be a teenager. I felt like pop culture was just knew exactly all the buttons to push for us. We had the likes of John Hughes making movies that spoke to us. And it was a great time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, I've noticed recently anyway, that a lot of Nick's contemporaries, all 16, 17-year-old kids, all at that age where I was at the height of my 80s love, are dressing in 80s clothes. And I want to make this clear. When you and I were growing up, if you wanted to be edgy and scary, you were some stoner kid in a Black Rush t-shirt with hair in your face, a pack of cigarettes in your back pocket, a switchblade somewhere hidden, weird boots.
Yeah, that's if you wanted to be, right, like John Bender tough.
Yes.
John Bender, the character from The Breakfast Club.
No, there you go.
It was also the wearing all black with kind of a black jacket, putting a little bit of white foundation on your face and kind of blacking out your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That was another way to kind of be edgy. And
sure. So we had our edgy looks then.
We did. Yep.
And they worked as edgy looks. The rest of us just dressed in, t-shirts, jeans, pair of jeans, some white Nikes or something. We called them Nikes back then, everybody. Just calm down. Don't send me emails. That's what we did. And so we had that. That was the dynamic. Today, I am noticing this everywhere I go, especially with Nick's friends and when we go over to the high school. A large number of the children at this school, these teenagers, are dressing in 80s clothes to be edgy, but the things they think are edgy are what you and I would have called average and boring in the 80s. So like,
please tell me somebody's wearing like a Frankie Say Relax shirt to be edgy.
Yes. And like girls with the shoulder padded kind of, I don't even know how to explain those shirts. How do I explain this? It's like the frizzy hair seems to be coming back.
Oh no.
Tight jeans. Maybe a hole in one of the knees. I know that never goes away,
like
kind of.
Blouse with shoulder pads?
Yeah. Yes. So one of those. Pants are too high, you know what I mean? Like almost like mom pants, because they used to wear those like kind of acid washed mom pants back in the day. Some of the kids are wearing like leg warmers, I noticed.
Wow.
And they think.
You sure
this
wasn't like you just happened to show up on 80s day at the high school?
That's what I was thinking. I said, Nick, what is going on at your school? And he goes, oh, this is how everyone's dressing now. I refuse to do it, he says. And I look at it and I went, all right. And I asked him, I said, do they think they're cool? He says, yes, they think that this is so edgy and cool. And I looked at him and went, you were just like the rest of us losers in the 80s. This wasn't cool. None of this was edgy or cool. Right. So they've got it wrong. It's almost like, what's it like?
I don't know
what to compare it to.
No, I'll tell you exactly. It's like when a character in a movie goes back in time and they dress like they've seen in movies, mm-hmm, because they think it's going to help them fit in this past time, right? Like,
right.
Like Michael J. Fox in the third Back to the Future when he wears the pink frilly leather jacket cowboy outfit.
Right. That's a good comparison. He thinks that he knows enough about the past that he could fit well in it and be considered cool in it. Right. But everyone in it knows he's out of his mind.
Right.
And exactly. That's how I felt, because they all looked like they were trying to go back in time, but they weren't quite nailing the landing. And these are the kids that are like the really tough, really scary, really cool, really whatever, the popular kids. They're all dressing like this. I saw a kid in like, I don't even know what to call it. It's pink pants, red suspenders, and a tight white t-shirt underneath. Flood pants kind of, and some Converse high tops that were also pink. He looked like John Cryer or somebody like Ferris Bueller. He was definitely aiming for that look and stuff. And he is supposed to be this bad A who all the girls love. And I looked at him and went, what the F is up with this kid? Like that, right. You would have been beat up if you were in my grade dressing like that. Somebody would have kicked your A.
Now, let me throw something out here, Scott.
Oh, boy.
A lot of the stuff that we thought was that kind of edgy look,
yeah,
kind of was what was considered, or what we probably perceived as cool in the 50s. What we perceived people were dressing like 50s. You look at that, Ferris Bueller is a great example. You look at what Matthew Broderick wore, mm-hmm, like the leopard print vest with the shirt and the jacket, the Nehru kind of jacket. I mean, that was like right out of the 50s. He would have looked like Joe Hipster Beatnik at the poetry thing at the coffee shop.
That's true. I think I know what you're saying. I think I get it. You're probably right.
It's a cycle, and it's. I think it's like a cycle game of telephone,
mm-hmm,
right? Where you start out saying, "Here's what's cool: Converse high tops, pants that don't quite go to the floor, white t-shirts, and kind of slick back hair. Pass it on."
Okay.
And then the next person, and then it goes around 50s, 60s, 70s, all the way back around to the 80s.
Yeah.
And somebody mishears it and says, okay, all right, so shoulder pads that are huge, slick back hair. I think you might have said pants that were short. I don't know. Maybe
a little flooded. Izod shirt. Can you even buy those anymore? You know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then the 80s goes by. So next year, expect bad. Or I'm sorry. Next decade, look for bad grunge.
Yeah.
It will be in stock.
You're probably right. Bad grunge. If that's what it is, it's a bad shadow of what it once was. But they're not knowing that. And so if somebody would have come to me that grew up in the 50s and the 80s and said, young man, you look stupid in these clothes, I would have said, get out of here, grandpa, right? They're right, going to do the same thing. If I walk in there and go, what's with all the Jordache I'm seeing here in this school? They would like go, whatever, dude, your dad's weird. And that, you know, that's where it would end. But it's like it's finally come around to it. It took a while for it to happen. There have been bits and pieces over the years, like a little bit of injection of 80s this and 80s that, but we are back in it where the actual youth of today have hit the cycle.
Generation, the whole Woodstock thing, weren't people wearing like flannelly looking shirts and stuff then? And so that is just the pre-cycle to grunge, bring it back for grunge and wearing it.
It's the evolution of the grunge thing, but it's such a cartoon of itself. It's just such a goofy, I guess I never had this perspective until now, which is what life's about. And as you get older, you see these things, but it's fascinating. And the kid who dresses in the pink jumpsuit.
Now you have a tool you can put in your bedroom that you can ask about fashion.
Oh no, I don't want to do that.
That's, did you see this?
Yeah, we talked about it on DTNS. That's stupid.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah.
Amazon Echo Look, it's called. And you put it in your closet and you take a picture of yourself, and between machine learning and expert stylists, they'll tell you how in or out of style you are. F off. I want this thing to be like a security camera, Internet of Things, home automation unit. I don't want it for me to go, all right, how am I doing today in this vest?
Right. I don't need to hear Alexa laugh at me, basically. Yeah.
Here's what I say about that. That's what I said. double 70s bird. Speaking of
the
70s.
Double 70s bird. Oh, we talked about that too the other night about which bird is worse. The bird where you've got the knuckles kind of surrounding.
Yeah, this one.
You know, this one where you've got the two knuckles.
That's 80s
bird. Or the monkey flip.
Yeah, this is 70s bird. This is 80s bird as far as I'm concerned.
It kind of is, yeah.
Yeah, and this is one I grew up with. It's too lazy. I don't like it. It's just like, meh. I like, look at that. Yeah. Boom. People at home can't see this, but we're flipping the camera off.
Yeah, you may need to look at YouTube for this one.
Hopefully Twitch doesn't say, I guess you can flip each other off, right? Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, we totally do that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks. You gave me an 80s bird. I gave you a 70s bird. Together, we made a 2010s bird.
Wow. The bird fashion of the 80s is coming back. The 80s bird is coming back.
That's right. Bird goes tweet. All right. Hey, real quick, we're going to dive into some news here today. We do have Nicole later, everybody. So stay tuned for that. That'll be fun. Looking forward to it. Here's this. It's the news brought to you by.
Have you been to myturfandgarden.com yet? We have loads of traditional fertilizers, organic solutions, soil boosters, and so much more. Plus, we have over 80 years of combined experience to share with you over email, live chat, or on the phone. Small business customer service means you're more than a sale, and the success of your lawn or garden means as much to us as it does to you. Come say hi at myturfandgarden.com.
Sounds good to me.
Hi.
Hi there. Hello there.
Hello there.
It's another band that everyone loves now that thinks that it's theirs and not 20 years old. Anyway, hey, I got a story about a rabbit and United Airlines. So United in trouble here lately for, you know, beating up and carrying, ripping a dude out of their plane.
Right, scorpions onto passengers.
Oh, yeah, that too. And I know it was the airport police, everybody. I know it's not United directly, but United told them to come do it. Okay, so it's still United. I'm so sick of people trying to make that distinction. United said, hey, police, come take this guy out of our plane.
Right.
It's effectively United. All right. That's like saying, well, Hitler wasn't responsible for gassing all those Jewish people. It was all his lieutenants he told to do it.
He's not the monster you're making him out to be.
And I realize there's a fallacy in the comparison. I'm not saying what United did is the same as the genocide of millions of Jews in World War II. I'm just saying. I don't know what I'm saying. Here's your story, though. Simon is a giant bunny. He's not just the kid that lives with Brian. He's a giant black rabbit and was
cheeky monkey.
He was found dead on a United Airlines flight. A British bunny with a chance to become the world's largest died on a United flight. Simon, a 3-foot giant continental rabbit from breeder Annette Edwards. That's
holy crap,
big.
3 feet, a 3-foot giant continental rabbit.
About that big.
Holy crap.
Yeah, if you go from bum to nose, that's a big-ass rabbit.
No kidding.
We had a rabbit about 2 feet big that was called Fang. He may have been the same breed, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he was house-trained. Was that Fang? I may be confusing him with a different rabbit. Anyway. I was reportedly en route to a new celebrity owner before being found dead on a flight from London Heathrow to Chicago O'Hare International Airport in a United flight. It was not immediately clear what happened to the rabbit, whose dad, Darius, had repeatedly made headlines for being the world's largest bunny at more than 4 feet long and roughly 50 pounds. Yeesh!
Holy cow.
Simon had that's as tall as my sister-in-law almost.
I know, that's insane.
That's crazy. But if he stretched his ears out, he would be the same height as my sister-in-law in Phoenix. Wow. She's like 4'9" or something. Anyway, Simon had a vet checkup 3 hours before the flight, and everything was fine, so nobody knows what happened. Maybe it was just the altitude, or who knows.
I have a theory.
Okay, give it. What do you got?
All right, so United, been cranky lately. They've been, it's hot, it's cramped, right? It's and now the rabbit died. I think United is pregnant.
Oh, hey! Is the father Donald Penobscot, or who do we know who did it? Whenever you say a rabbit died. Yeah, yeah, all I think of is MASH and how they had to kill the rabbit.
Soap too. I remember that phrase on Soap, and somebody had to explain to me like why the rabbit died means pregnant.
Yeah, I mean that is so much that those strips you pee on have really helped things for rabbits everywhere.
Golly, they totally have. Yeah. That was probably invented by one of these giant 3-foot rabbits.
Oh my gosh, I don't even want to think about how big that thing poops, like golf ball size poop.
Right.
A psychic is trying to prove his immortality and to prove that to everybody and on camera. He wanted to prove that he was immortal. He stabbed himself to death.
Oh, jeez.
This went really well. A psychic.
Did you do this on Facebook Live?
Oh, did they? No, they didn't, did they? Maybe they
no,
did.
No, I'm wondering if they did.
Oh, because lately.
Oh, no, okay. This was.
It was somewhere
actually,
else.
It doesn't say where he did it.
Yeah, there's just video.
I guess I didn't, live in person somewhere.
Yeah, something like that. In front of a group. Psychic medium has died after accidentally stabbing himself in the heart while trying to prove his immortality. Do you call that an accident?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a different word.
I was stabbing myself intentionally to prove that I'm immortal, but I accidentally stabbed myself in the heart and I died.
Yeah.
So really, you're basically just saying I can withstand stabs other than to the heart.
Yeah, there you go. The Prit Pillay is his name. He's 25. He's been performing the traditional spirit dance in front of spectators in Chiang Mai, northern Thailand. Yesterday afternoon when the accident occurred, the folk ritual is believed to honor the ghosts of ancestors, and in previous shows, the blade of the sword broke when it was pressed against his chest. But on the occasion the act went wrong, the weapon failed to snap, caused the 25-year-old to stab himself in the chest and went right through his heart. He is now dead. Don't do that. That shouldn't be part of your act. That's a bad act.
You need better props.
Yeah.
Go see Carrot Top.
Yeah.
Or Mick Hucknall, apparently.
Have you been to a Carrot Top show? Just curious.
No, and I kind of want to see him. I hear really good things about the Carrot Top show in Vegas. I hear that halfway through, he reaches into his suitcase or his trunk, his chest there, and he pulls out handfuls of steroids and throws them out to the audience.
Oh, perfect. An orange skin color and whatever.
Right, yeah.
Wonder if that stuff's gone up since Trump became president.
No, I do hear it's a really good show, and I kind of want to see it. He's not my first pick, though. There's a couple other shows that if I do go this summer, which I do want to.
He's on my list of top 10 people I would be most freaked out if I woke up next to in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Like if you didn't know they were there. So just imagine, kind of like the horse head in
Godfather.
If you just woke up next to a naked Carrot Top, let's say.
Okay.
That would be a really freaky thing in your life to have happen.
I bet I could come up with 10 people that would freak you out more.
All right, give me some names here. Let's try it.
Do they have to be living?
Nope, they can be dead, but they shouldn't be. Perfect. They should be a living version of themselves, not a dead corpse.
Well, that's the thing. Okay. I mean, you know, you'd be surprised to find anybody you thought was dead. Like Andy Kaufman would shock you more than Carrot Top.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I don't want the body of I don't want the remains Andy of Kaufman, one of these
the
people.
The remains of Andy Kaufman?
I would say Andy Kaufman in bed is fine. In fact, he would not freak me out that much.
Okay.
Andy Kaufman.
All right. I'm going to say Kanye West. Oh, come on. Wouldn't shock you more than Carrot Top? I think it would shock you more than Carrot Top.
Part of the shock is what am I seeing at 6 a.m. in the window light? Am I seeing a freakish steroid man with crazy red hair and disgusting weird muscles? All or am I seeing just an average looking rapper guy?
Okay, well, let's go with the easy one.
All right.
Our fine president, Donald Trump.
Oh, that'd scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
If he was naked. Well, I can think of two things. Okay, if he's naked, I'd go, ah! And then secondly, I'd go, well, thank goodness he has a tiny, tiny, tiny little wiener because... It's not going to get anywhere near me so that I have to experience it in any meaningful way.
All right. Steve Buscemi.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we're talking all these people are naked, he'd be pretty freaky in there.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Clint
Howard.
Four of the five members of the New Kids on the Block.
Okay. Wait. Which ones are those? Which? Yeah, they're the not Backstreet Boys. I'm trying to think who New Kids are.
I can't think of them either. Okay, let's say the Backstreet Boys. Four of the five members of the Backstreet Boys.
Can one of them be what's his
Lance
name?
Lance Bass visiting from NSYNC would be the replacement.
Okay. All right. No, that's not so bad. That wouldn't freak me out. I mean, it would freak me out, but I'm talking like Clint Howard with his current like crazy haircut that he has.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Oh, well then, all right. Well, let's throw Randy Quaid in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. You nailed it. In fact, erase them all and put Randy Quaid in there.
Perfect.
Damn. Nordstrom in the news. Mm-hmm. Do you buy at Nordstrom ever? Do you ever go there?
No.
I don't either.
I don't think I've bought anything even at the Nordstrom outlet store that we have at a Mills mall near us.
Mm. My buddy Drew goes there a lot. And when we were in our 20s, he would go in and look at a bunch of shoes and make the help get him other shoes to look at. And they were all like $1,000 shoes. And mm-hmm. he would keep trying on all these shoes and then he would never buy anything and leave.
Oh, that's so mean.
I know. It was pretty mean. That's what I always thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and I are in agreement. Anyway, they're charging $425 now for fake mud jeans. I'll show you a pair of real mud jeans if you want them.
My jeans are mud.
Fashion retailer Nordstrom is selling a pair of $425 jeans that allegedly show you're not afraid to get down and dirty, is the quote. The Barracuda straight leg jeans. Which come with caked on mud coating, have been around or has been roundly mocked on social media. Oh, that's a shock. With Mike Rowe remarking that the jeans are intended to make someone appear like they have a dirty job when they do not.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, jeez.
Kind of great. The Barracuda straight leg jeans aren't pants. They're not even fashion. They're a costume for wealthy people who see work as ironic, not iconic, says Rowe on a Facebook post.
So if you were to wash them, would that mud would not come off? Those are like permanently...
Yeah, it's like a painted material.
But it's like caked on. Like, it's not just like stained brown.
Yeah, it's probably like a...
It's like got texture to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, like something Bill would make or something. Like a...
Like prop jeans. Yeah. I can see why they're $425. It's got to cost a lot of money to make mud that doesn't wash off.
But why would you... There's something else.
Is Nordstrom the one that sold the rock in the leather case?
Yes. That's the one I was trying to think of. That's it.
So basically they've just got somebody in their idea department, Nordstrom Imagineers, who really just basically is like, all right, let's see if I can get this one through. I'd like to see the things this guy comes up with that don't make it through the approval process.
Yeah, no kidding. But I haven't been there in so long, I have no idea what you can buy there now. I assume it's all still very expensive at that price for that. I mean, even if it's a fancy mud-caked cool effect that never washes off.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably still cost under $10 to make those.
Yeah, probably.
And the sweat of children in some slave country.
Singapore sweatshop, yeah.
Exactly. Here's your final story. New Doritos bags. Play the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack with a built-in cassette deck.
I love this.
This is pretty great.
I kind of want one when they go on sale on Amazon. They're probably going to sell out so quick, I'm not going to get a chance to get one, but I kind of do want one.
I wonder where I could find them locally. I mean, like Target always gets this kind of stuff, don't they?
Yeah, but I think these are only going to be available on Amazon.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think it says later. You're right. If you're a fan of cheesy snack foods and well-curated superhero film soundtracks, Doritos has...
I'm a fan of both!
Well, as it turns out, I am. Let me tell you more, then. Doritos has developed the thing for you. The snack company's latest tie-in promotion with the Marvel movie Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is a chip bag that allows you to plug your headphones in and listen to the film soundtrack in full. The bag features controls reminiscent of a cassette deck on the front, and you can also... have that thing recharged for repeat listening. According to Billboard, the new soundtrack revealed earlier this month features classic songs from Electric Light Orchestra, Parliament, Fleetwood Mac, and more.
Mm-hmm.
As well as an original song featuring vocals from David Hasselhoff. Is that true?
Yep. Yep. Apparently it's something in the, something worked into the movie.
I'm a little worried about that. I don't want that.
Because it's kitschy. I don't know. I don't think he's making an appearance in the movie. God, I hope not. But
yeah. Maybe he's in a bar on the floor eating a burger.
Why are you filming this?
He's got the worst video of all secret videos. Like, I don't even care. If you're Kim Kardashian, you got your sex video, or you're the Paris Hilton or whatever, those are all shocking and whatever. But those are, you've built some careers out of those ladies.
Totally, yes. Oh, yeah.
David Hasselhoff, drunk, eating a burger on the floor while his daughter films him, did nobody any favors.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody won in that fight. Let's see. The new music playing Doritos bags will be eventually sold on Amazon. Check out a photo of what the bag looks like, which I will do now and show the chat. You guys can see what this looks like. It's called the Mix, is it? Okay, there's...
Awesome Mix too, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Do you... let's say you get your hands on one of these.
Yeah.
Would you keep it... would you eat the Doritos out of the bag?
Because
you'd keep the... I mean, you'd have to keep the bag. Would you keep the Doritos in the bag and just not open it and play it, you know?
You know what? I think I'd... Now that you say that, I think I would never eat the Doritos. I would keep this bag as pristine as possible.
Yeah.
Because... It literally could be a collector's item at some point.
It totally could be. Because there's going to be a limited number of them made.
Yeah, let's try to get a couple of these when they go on sale.
I'm in for it. We're doing it, folks.
All right, on the show even, maybe if we can time it right.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. All right, that's going to do it for the news. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, recommendals with Nicole. We hope. We hope the baby's doing good. But if not, Brian and I brought some recommendals as well. And I've got a load of emails to read, so we'll get to all that in a second. But before that... Music.
Nice. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. The new Doritos bag has an analog headphone jack, but the new iPhone doesn't.
Yep.
How about that? Yep. How about that for
take that, Apple.
Great. Yeah. All right. So this one comes to us from Panama City, Florida. A guy named Mike Thompson put out an album called Out of My Head. You can find them online, MikeThompsonMusic.com. This is a rocker, came out in 2015, so a couple of years old, but just came through the wires to me. I don't know why it's been sitting around for 2 years, languishing on the internet for 2 years before it finally made its way to me. You may hear some Foo Fighters influence in this as well. Here is Mike Thompson and The One.
Never stop.
great idea ever that's come out of anywhere probably had some caffeine involved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm bleeding to death. Humor me. This is the Morning Stream.
So that's Wendy. Somebody sent those over with her all slowed down. And
I love it.
They're glorious.
Yeah.
She says things like this. Where is it?
Like, what would be the difference?
She's just so into it, man.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for her to hear those tomorrow.
Yeah, she's going to lose her mind. I actually may have sent her an MP3. I don't know if she got it yet.
Oh.
All right. Hey, what's going on now? I know Nicole time. Let's get her in here. I haven't heard from her, so that's a good thing. Probably means we're in.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give it a shot anyway. And if not, that's okay too. We'll do what we got to do. Let's see here. All right, we're buzzing her. We're buzzing her. I'm going to say, hi. You still able? Or just to make sure. While we do that, I'll say. All right, well, we're going to start regardless.
Is the show, okay.
Is it actually recording? Is the question? Let me make sure we're recording. Or are we? Yeah, we are. We're totally recording. All right. It's time for recommendals, everybody. And oh, why not? I'll play your little thing here. Nicole's normally here to do recommendals with us. She's not yet. We've left these call open. One of her kids has a fever, so maybe she won't be, but hopefully she is. And if she is, great. If not, Brian and I brought recommendals anyway.
That's right.
And we find stuff on streaming services or otherwise that we like to recommend to our listeners. We play little clips, talk about them a bit. Brian, you've got a clip here. Do you want to set anything up for this?
I do, and I will tell you that, hey, even if Nicole doesn't show up, there's a Nicole in my clip.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. So
all right.
Not a Spagnuolo, but...
That's all right. Here it is. 32 seconds. Check it out.
I think he's telling the truth. He said also that Max pushed Sky down the stairs and that he's been a little aggressive towards her as well. So sorry, Celeste, to tell you this. For kids now, you know, they bully. It's human nature. They grow out of it. Sometimes they don't.
I have no idea. It sure sounds looming, though.
It is, yeah. Sometimes they don't grow out of it. You were hearing Shailene Woodley doing most of the talking there and Nicole Kidman at the very end. It is a mini-series that Tina and I binge-watched on HBO.
Right.
Really, really good. It's a David E. Kelly series called Big Little Lies.
Yeah, people raved about this.
Yeah. I can see why. I really, really enjoyed the series. If I had any complaint, it's that the ending, and I'm going to say this in the most spoiler-free way possible.
Okay.
The ending gave you the results that you wanted, but maybe not the most dramatic results.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, I understand that. That's
still worth watching.
You know, that's funny. I would say it was the exact same kind of thing I would have said for their other miniseries that I love so much called The Night Of.
Yeah, which is something I want to watch, too.
You should watch that. You'd love it. Yeah. But it definitely had that same kind of thing. The end gave you what it seemed right, but it was, I don't know, it was weirdly underwhelming. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got, like I mentioned, Shailene Woodley, Nicole Kidman. You've got Reese Witherspoon, and probably one of my favorite things I've ever seen Reese Witherspoon in. I really liked her in Election, but I think she was really good in this, too. Mm. Alexander Skarsgård.
Oh, he's always creepy.
He is always creepy. And Adam Scott, one of our favorites. The guy kind of reminds me of Tom Merritt. If there was an actor who would play Tom Merritt in a movie about podcasting.
Yeah. If there was like a Frog Pants podcast movie, we've always talked about who would play our roles. He would totally play Tom Merritt.
He would absolutely be Tom Merritt.
Yep.
So it's worth checking out. It's streaming. The whole series is streaming. I think there's only 10 episodes. You can get through this in a couple of afternoons, really. Mm-hmm. And it's very compelling. I mean, David E. Kelly. It's a known quantity. He's a good writer, dude.
Been around for a while. Done his
L.A. Law, Boston Public, mm-hmm. Boston Legal.
Yeah, he makes
practice. These are all things that were really good.
He does good work. He's got two first names, and that's great.
That's right. And married to Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool. I'm sure she's great. Does she ever put herself in leather and have cats crawl all over her, or do you think that's not a thing she does anymore?
Still does that probably on a monthly basis.
Great. The only other thing I would say is, did Reese Witherspoon's chin bug you at all during the showing?
It didn't. You know, it's funny because normally it does. And I don't think she's changed her chin. I really liked her in the wild. I don't know. For some reason, I think that she's growing. I don't want to say growing into the actor that I can appreciate, but like,
She's left her Legally Blonde.
She's taking roles now where I think she's appealing to what I like seeing. You know, it's like I was never a big fan of the whole Legally Blonde.
Right. Yeah, she's out of that era now. It's just good.
She's out of that era. And I think that, you know, like I said, Election was great. That was my favorite thing out of that time. But there was that rom-com period for her. And I think the stuff she's done since then, like The Wild was excellent. It was really, really good.
I also liked her in Mud. She was great in Mud.
Oh, I haven't seen that. That's the
McConaughey
Matthew
deal.
McConaughey deal. Yeah, I need to see that.
Yeah, it's so good, dude. Yeah. Mud was one of the best movies I saw that year. What was that, 2014? So good.
I think so. Yeah, I need to see that.
Great movie.
Big Little Lies. It's on your HBO streaming utility of choice, whether it ends with a go or a now.
That's right. Hey, Wayne, if I ask you the question, have you seen... Okay, just answer it normally. Have you seen Matthew McConaughey's Mud?
No.
It'd be better if you did. See? We did it.
Very good. Okay, I was wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell.
For some reason, I was trying to figure it out. All right, in there, and I couldn't. Couldn't make it happen.
That's all right. That's where our minds naturally go. All right, here's my clip. It's a little bit longer, but I think you'll probably immediately know what it's from, and I could not be more excited about it. Here it is.
Honestly, we didn't know if our message had...
You called the number.
Yeah, we, like I said, we didn't...
All you get when you call.
Clicks and buzzers, which... Hard to leave a... But good news, you're here, and we're in the black now, Stussy Corp. And, well, your firm was nice enough to... Mr. Erman Traub, your broker, he arranged for your firm to lend us that money last year, and we're happy to say we're ready to pay it back in full.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
I'm sorry.
You keep it.
Keep it?
Yeah.
I apologize. I didn't catch your name.
I'm V.M. Varga.
And you work for...
With Narwhal, yes.
Well, now, it's... See, your firm, Narwhal, like I said, last year, we borrowed a hefty sum. And I know you're not bona fide FDIC, but, I mean, unless you boys do business differently in... Where are you from?
America.
All right. Have you seen this yet?
Yes. Oh, my God. I love that whole scene. I love. And I love, what's his face? Lupin.
Yeah. Professor Lupin. David Thewlis.
David Wheeler. Or David Thewlis.
Thewlis, or how you say his name? He's always great in all the things he's ever in. But
yeah.
I am so stoked for where we go with him in this. I don't know where. Sure. We may never even see him again. I don't even know. But I love him as an actor. He's super dynamic. That scene was awesome. It is the third season opener, season three, episode one of Fargo, which returned to television.
Tonight.
Yeah, two's tonight. That's right. Episode two's tonight. Already in love with it. I already did love it. It's the best show on TV. Season one and two are incredible. Season one was set in 2005. Season two was set in 1978. Season three is set in 2010.
Yeah.
And what's her name from The Leftovers is in this one. I didn't even know that going into it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Love her. Love her.
Yes. Plays Laura. Laura? Or
yes.
Nora?
Laura. Nora.
Nora on Leftovers. Yeah. Carrie Coon.
Yeah. That show's also going.
Unfortunate name. Yeah. $50.
Oh, I found that. It's like more than like $200 now, by the way.
Still worth it.
Carrie Coon. Get in there and get that done. She's amazing. I'm going to say it out loud. I can't believe I'm saying this because I have faulted Ewan McGregor for decades, for right. never being able to pull off an accent that isn't English, his native one, or sure. Scottish. He is killing it, and he's two characters in this.
Right. Did you know going in that he was going to be playing two characters?
I only did from some preview stuff I read.
Okay. But see, I didn't know. And so you immediately see the rich brother.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, okay, well, there's, wow, he's really doing the accent. It's great. There's, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. No, this other guy, his other brother. Oh, no, wait, I think that's,
Ewan McGregor.
He looks like Ewan McGregor, too. How is this possible? But he plays brothers.
Yeah.
Both of them kind of look like Ewan McGregor, yeah. but enough to where you're questioning, which one of those guys is Ewan McGregor?
No, it's really good. Really well done. Masterfully done.
And I'm sorry, can we please bring up Mary Elizabeth Winstead's yeah. butt? Come yeah. on, right there in the first episode, just yep. out there. Hello, FX.
Hello, FX gets away with a little bit of bum shot there yeah. in the deal.
I've always had a crush on her.
Oh, she's great. She's really good. And when they push that, well, I don't want to give anything away, but when that thing happens at the window, it's just so perfect. It's just Fargo up the butt the whole time. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's good, you guys. It doesn't have any right to be this good. When I heard that Joel and Ethan Cohen were backing this, like they were all in when they read the early scripts and talked to the showrunner and all that, I thought, okay, well, this better be good because you guys don't usually do this. Like you must really like this. This is where I'm putting my faith. It is such a great show. I can't believe TV really good, is capable yeah. of this kind of stuff. So, yeah, you guys should watch it. And if you haven't caught up on the series, both first one and two seasons are on Hulu in their entirety. Mm-hmm. I watch this on PlayStation View because it's just showing new stuff.
Right.
And but you can also get episodes on iTunes and Amazon or wherever else you want to get it. So it's awesome. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Every season has been amazing, too. I mean, the first season you had Billy Bob Thornton. And Martin Freeman. Second one, freaking Gene Smart and Ted Danson were amazing.
Ted Kristen Danson Dunst was so good. It's my favorite Ted Danson role ever, by the way.
Yeah.
Loved him in that. And you're hearing us say this and you're going, Ted Danson? What?
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, killed it. Killed it in that
Absolutely
season.
Killed it.
Yeah. How that show isn't automatically number one in everyone's list is beyond me.
Right.
I just freaking love it. So anyway, it's Fargo. It's out now. It's happening on FX. And you've got some really great stuff to catch up on if you haven't watched the earlier stuff. I found this episode funny and weird and a little scary and dark and then light and then dark again. It's the showrunner who in the meantime, worked on Legion. He's the Legion showrunner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Same guy, which is why they gave him the keys.
Noah Hawley.
Yeah. He is whoever that guy is some kind of genius, brilliant man.
No kidding. Apparently, he also did Bones, The Unusuals, and My Generation. And now I kind of want to take a look at all three of those and see if they're as good as this.
Well, I guarantee Bones isn't. Is Bones the one with David Boreanaz?
Yeah.
That movie's a shit show. It's not good. But I bet
watches Bones. Isn't that has a Deschanel in it too, doesn't it?
I think it has the older sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kim really liked Bones, so Tina and Kim once again. Liking things that I don't think you and I would, but
what's The Unusuals.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Amber Tamblyn, Jeremy Renner, Harold Perrineau.
Oh, I like Lost. Harold Perrineau. I like him.
Yeah, a comedy drama television series, April 8th to June 17th, 2009, in the U.S.
Mm. All right. I don't know what that is. I'll check
a
it
modern,
out.
Like a modern day mash that explores both the grounded drama and comic insanity of the world of New York City police detectives, where every cop has a secret.
Okay. That sounds all right. Well, whatever's going on, he's off his leash over there at FX.
He is. Right, exactly.
And it's special. Like, it's you really get the feeling from this person that this is not the first of what we're going to see out of him. He is going to do amazing things his whole career. Like, he is on top of my list of favorite showrunners on TV right now. So good.
Yeah.
And he directs this first episode, which is good. Anyway, there's that. Let's move on to some emails. What do you say about that?
I say it's a great idea, and sorry, Nicole, we missed you, but, you know, we saved you for next week.
Yeah.
You can reuse your recommendal for next week.
Yeah, this stuff is perennial. Here's an email from Corey in Charlotte, North Carolina. Decided to clean out some emails. Scott and Brian on TMS 1250, Brian talked about how his dog does the squat and leg lift combo when going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
My dog, which is a Greyhound Lab mix and reminds me a lot of Rainer, my dog, does the same thing when we're going number one. In addition to that, when we go number two, she assumes the standard squat position and then reaches one paw front paw back through her back legs so that the first Tootsie Roll hits her paw, and then she moves her paw out of the way. It's like she has to make sure she's successfully doing the deed. We keep baby wipes by where we store her leash so we can wipe her foot off if it's a particularly problematic drop. Oh. Love the show, Corey in Charlotte, North Carolina. So there's that. That cracked me up. Can you imagine that?
That's horrible.
Yeah, I've never heard of a dog.
I'd like to see a video of this just because it's like, I can't imagine how the dog keeps its balance doing that.
Yeah. I mean, is it just making sure it's going? Is that the deal?
I don't know.
It's like,
who knows what these animals do and why they do it?
Very odd. Rainer does this thing where she'll bury it. You know, it feels like a month later. She'll poo or pee, and then we'll be halfway down the sidewalk, and then she'll just start doing the bury move, where she's scrapping at the cement.
Oh yeah, yeah, like the rough kicks behind. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
It's like a billion year old dog ancestor is still running through her veins.
Right.
You must bury her poo. Here's one from Dr. Timothy Richardson, an actual practicing doctor. Hi, Scott. It might have been fun if you had replied to the racist guy in the elevator with your German accent, Tim, or Dr. Timothy.
So in Vegas, when you were in the elevator at the downtown Grand with that guy who's probably didn't want to be in the elevator with his Americans Mexicans. Or something like that, right?
Americans, and then he was all uncomfortable with the black guy in there, and it was real weird. And I got another email from a guy saying, not everything's racist, you know. Like, okay, but that guy was, all right? Once in a while, you can make an objective assessment of the situation. When a guy's talking disparagingly about people of color in the elevator you're standing in, I think it's safe for me to say he might be a little racist! All right.
Yeah, that would be very funny.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like the Mexican-Americans, do you? Yeah.
We had a solution for that.
Oh, that was too good. Holy shit. All right. I'm okay. Everything's fine. Hey, by the way, if you have, I was supposed to do this already, but I've gotten distracted. I have a friend named Chase. He is at the University of Utah doing a game thing where he's built a video game, and it's on Steam Greenlight right now. It's actually kind of cool and sort of a big deal. And it's called Street Triker, T-R-I-K-E-R.
Oh, that's a great name.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Go to Steam Greenlight and vote for it so it gets in. I want to see him do well. That's all I wanted to mention there. Chase is a good guy. All right, final email from Wing It.
All right.
Says, when I heard the story about Scott accidentally bringing the pocket knife on an airplane, I felt like I needed to share this story about one of my relatives. This happened just after 9/11. This relative was on a domestic flight out of San Diego. And during the flight, he got up, reached into his carry-on to grab something, and to his horror, felt the grip of his Colt 45 handgun.
Oh, no.
Turns out he had taken the same bag to the gun range earlier that week and forgotten that he had put the gun and some leftover ammo in one of the pockets of the bag when he was done shooting. He played it cool until he landed and arranged another way to get the gun back home. Here's the crazy part. He starts calling people to alert them of a possible security hole, and no one seems to care. He called the airport, the TSA, Homeland Security. No one seemed to care that much that this happened. Finally, FBI thought they should maybe look into it and invited him back to the airport to replicate the circumstances and see what went wrong. They put the bag through the scanner and concluded it was human error, as it was very clearly visible no matter how they put the bag through. Sorry, just had to one-up Scott on this story. Love the show, though. Wing it. I'm horrified that happened, but also I'm more horrified that Homeland Security and TSA don't seem to give a poo.
Right, exactly.
Whatever.
Lucky, I guess.
Yeah, sorry. But the FBI, there you go. The men of the FBI showing up and doing their job. Well done, FBI.
Wow.
Federal Bureau of Investigation. I hope they're doing their job right now, if you know what I'm saying. All right. Hey, that's going to do it for the show, everybody. Big thanks for being here. If you'd like to send your own emails in, themorningstream@gmail.com is where I got those and many others. We'll be happy to read them right here on the podcast. If you'd like to help us out, you can go do that at patreon.com/TMS. For a show that is primarily paid for by you and listener support, it means a great deal to us when you do that. Even the most little bit helps. patreon.com/TMS. We'll be back tomorrow with Wendy and Therapy Thursday and all that stuff. I can't believe it's already been a week. It won't be nearly of a downer as last week's child porn case was. I promise. I promise you that. It'll be way less. It'll be a lot more light than that.
Yeah, happy problem that somebody's writing in about.
That's right. Oh, and then we may have to. Oh, I've totally forgot about this, and I haven't even talked to you. We may have to push PM around a bit. I've got. So Tom's going to the doctor tomorrow. Nothing serious, just a checkup. Mm-hmm. But the only appointment he could get was during DTNS time, and he has asked me and Justin to do sub duty for him. So that will probably at least bump into PM. We'll figure it out. We'll let you guys know.
You said PMS, didn't you?
Yeah, PMS. Yeah, we're on PMS, the post-traumatic... What is it with PMS? Posthumous...
premenstrual syndrome.
Oh, yeah. Posthumous Metroid sister. So that's... We'll let you guys know. We don't know. I don't know yet. But yeah. I'll let you know.
And we'll make an announcement. I also forgot. We'll make an announcement about the... TMS Film Fest for April tomorrow as well.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we should do that. Have you looked at any of the entries or whatever?
I have not, but...
I haven't either.
But we'll go through those tomorrow.
I'm sort of lazy when that comes to that, because Brian always reminds me and I forget. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's more tomorrow. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Hey, Brian, let's play a request.
Sure. How about something going to Jennifer? Actually, technically, it's going to Steve. Hello, Scott and Brian. I want to request a cover song for my husband, Steve, on his birthday, April 26th. Today's his birthday. Happy birthday. Aww. He's been a fan of yours for years, and now I've started listening to your podcast as well, and we enjoy listening together on road trips, so I can see why you guys both like it.
Oh, man. Hold on.
Definitely see why you like it.
I have to play that now.
There you go. His favorite band is Rush, but he also loves electronica and dance music as well. Thank you. It would really make his day. Well, absolutely, Jennifer. Happy to play this for Steve. I went with the latter, the electronica dance covers, more than the Rush, because we played a lot of Rush covers on the show, and there's only so many subdivisions and Tom Sawyer and Spirit of Radio covers you can play, so let's go electronica dance. This one comes from an album I love called Rock and Rave. Seemed like this kind of throwaway idea for a cover album where they take... It's one continuous long loop of one mix of covers with inner instrumental bits between them. And it seemed like, all right, this is meant for like a spinning class or something like that. But I found that of the 9 covers on this album, I really like 7 or 8 of them. It's amazing. Mm. Including this one here. It's a cover of a song by The Doors. You know it. It's the Roadhouse Blues. It's performed by Whip Culture. Here is Roadhouse Blues.
Real question, quick question. What is a spinning class? Because I always hear it and I never know what it is.
It's like when you got a bunch of people all on bikes and then you've got somebody in front saying, okay, you're going to adjust your tension up to level 2 because we're going up a hill. We're all going up a hill together, everybody. All right, now pump your bikes, pump.
Oh, all right. So it's bikes. Okay.
It's all bikes. It's a bunch of women on, or a bunch of people on bikes.
I thought maybe it was Fidget Revolution people all spinning their fidget. Who knows?
Nope. Yeah, I've done... I went to a spinning class and said, yeah, you know what? I'll just get on my bike and ride up real hills.
Yeah, I don't like being... That group dynamic doesn't work for me on workout
stuff. No, I don't like it either. I don't like somebody up at the front barking orders. If I want to stop, get off my spinning bike and go get a drink of water, I want to feel like I can do that in my own time.
Damn straight. All right, here it is, Roadhouse. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you guys then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Yo, where's the thing?
Oh, Dick.
There you go.